Welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 107 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Gilteck. Thanks for joining me again today on the podcast. I've got that big announcement I've been threatening you with. I'm going to make it. It's not everything is ready. It's not every I is dotted and T crossed. I don't usually like to make announcements without that, but I'm going to take the risk because I've been talking about it already. That's why I don't talk about these things in the first place until they're done. But anyway, I'm going to take the risk. So if it blows up, you know, it is what it is. Also, I'm going to have, Wilson on. She's got a couple of things to chat about, and we're also going to do the neon sign draw as well. But first, I'd like to thank our sponsors, Vortex, the force of optics. Thanks to our friends over at Vortex Canada for continuing to support the podcast. We really appreciate it. You can check out all their great stuff over at vortexcanada.net. That's vortexcanada.net. And of course, our great friends over at the Saskatchewan Rivers chapter of Safari Club International. They do some fantastic work over there. We really appreciate the support. You can check out all of their great work at saskriversSCI.com. That's saskriversSCI.com. Okay, now I'm just going to jump right into the big announcement. The CCFR is going to be doing some more television. So what that's going to be is we're going to have a weekly show, and it's going to be a first of its kind in Canada. Again, you know, never been done. I know about people are tired of hearing us say this, but we're trying every single thing we can to do as many things as we can in hopes that it will help us. So basically what this show is, it's a firearm community news show and with a little bit of entertainment in there. And it's got a couple of goals. But basically what it is, I guess I should finish describing it. It's a 22 and a half minute version of the CCFR Radio podcast. The show is called CCFR Radio on the Air. And so how it differs from the podcast is the podcast really is an entertainment. You know, if you guys are entertained by it, I really appreciate that. That's awesome. But it's really not meant to be entertainment. It's meant to be an opportunity for us to have a long form discussion about the stuff that the CCFR is doing, why we do that, because it's incredibly important that you understand why we're doing the things that we're doing with the support that you have given us. That's really important. And it's long form. So if there's something else I want to tell you, I just tell you. I don't have to worry about how much time I've been talking or whatever. It's the internet. Doesn't matter how long the podcasts are, if there's a short one or a long one, right? So this is designed, to be the CCFR Radio podcast, but it's designed to have a little bit of entertainment in it. So basically what the format is, there's four segments or blocks as they call them. One is an introduction where I'll come on and I'll talk a little bit about some recent firearm legislation and what effect it's going to have on you or something that's going on or whatever, something of general interest. Then we're going to have a guest. I'm hoping to have a guest on every single episode. So that'll be a politician, a manufacturer, somebody that owns a gun business, an activist, a hunting celebrity, a sports shooting celebrity, somebody, right? Every episode. I'll bring on Wilson. We'll do a quick kind of CCFR update or talk about something, and then I'll close it off. So it's a half hour show. It's going to happen every week. The first season is going to be 13 episodes. That should run us somewhere to the into April. And if it's working, if I can keep up with producing it with everything else that I've got to do, then we'll probably do another season, and that season will be 20 to 26 weeks. So it's a big commitment. And so I can't promise you anything long term, but I'm going to try to get through the first season properly. And hopefully we're doing something that hasn't been done, like I mentioned, and something that's really of value. Now, some people are out there going like, well, you're preaching the converted, it's on Wild TV and you're just talking about gun stuff to gun people. And it's like, well, we are broadcasting this show into our community. That's true. But I'm not preaching the converted. And I'll tell you why. Is we have a few problems in our community. As if you've been politically involved for quite some time, you understand what these problems are. So I'll talk about one or more of them right now. I'm just not going to rattle on too far. But anyway, one of the biggest problems, if not the biggest problem, is we have 2.3 million licensed gun owners, and we have about 70,000 gun owners, 50 to 70,000 that are politically active, right? Now by politically active, I mean they've donated to a gun group, they volunteered, they keep an eye on social media, what's going on, they've written a letter to their MP, whatever, somewhere around 70,000. And there's a variety of reasons why I think it's that number. It's very similar to the number of people that have ever donated to the CCFR, at least once, right, since we started. So, you know, that's a really small number in comparison to the number of licensed gun owners. Now, when I say politically active, there could be, you know, 1.7 million licensed gun owners that voted in an election, right? And you might consider that politically active. But voting once every, you know, 2 to 4 years isn't enough. It's not going to be enough to save your guns. It's not going to be enough to create real representation for gun owners in the country. There's a variety of reasons why that's a problem. So what's really important, if we want to achieve our goals, is to increase the amount of gun owners that are politically active, that are interested in what's going on with their guns before their guns are actually taken away from them, right? Because that's kind of the concern. Well, you know, oh, that'll never happen. It's like, oh my God, I'm getting my gun taken away from me. Well, it didn't just happen, right? These things happen very slowly and you see them coming. So you could have, you know, done something a lot earlier. So we're trying to fill that need. We're trying to make that actually happen for a couple of reasons. So we want to increase the amount of licensed gun owners and hunters that are at least taking an interest. That's what we're trying to do. We just want them to take an interest in what's going on with their ability to own and use firearms. And not enough of them are, right? Not enough of gun owners are. So we're bringing them a show every week. And the key to this is consistency. We want to make sure that show is on every week for long periods of time, so that at least at some point somebody runs into it, maybe is forced to watch half an hour of the CCFR radio on the air. And they might be like, you know what? I never had heard of that. That's no good. You know, who is the CCFR? Maybe I'll support them. Maybe I'll pay attention to their website. Maybe I'll write a letter to my MP when they ask me to. Maybe I'll give them my email address so they can get a hold of me if something really bad goes on, right? So that they can notify me. And this is all part of building a large organization. Now, the other reason why it helps gun owners, well, I mean, it's related to that. There's really two other reasons. We'll see if I remember them both while I'm talking. Is that that for us, you know, 50,000, 70,000 people, maybe 80,000 people, just isn't enough of a very active political group for us to make real change or to be taken even more seriously or make it even more difficult for the liberals politically to take our guns. We need to be able to call on 100, 200,000 people so that if we want to have a march, we can get 60, 80,000 people there, right? Not 5,000. 5,000 was a huge achievement, right? Back in the Fed Up rallies back in the 90s, they got like 10, 15,000 people. It's from what I understand. I wasn't a gun owner then. And that's a real achievement. We need to be able to do that at any given time, maybe even more, right? And, you know, marches don't solve anything, but it tells the government, hey, there's a big group of people committed enough to show up and you know, walk around the block in front of their offices, and that's important. So for us to get larger organizations, we need to appeal to more gun owners. More gun owners need to see the need to participate. And so one way to do that is to make sure they know what's going on and know what they can do about it. Right? This is how we create larger organizations. So if you look at the United States, you've got the NRA, you've got the Second Amendment Foundation, you've got Gun Owners of America, you've got you have state level firearm organizations. And I'll bet you that none of the top, if you took the top 10 of them, and there's lots of them, people don't really realize that. It's not just the NRA there. If you took the top 10 of them, all the gun organizations in Canada, including the CCFR combined, probably doesn't equal the operation, the operating budget of the lowest of the top 10 of them, right? We're probably not even close. That's what's going on in Canada as far as, you know, how much support gun organizations have. Now, the CCFR is the largest. I know that because I know about some numbers. We're the largest that ever existed, but we're still tiny in comparison to American organizations. Variety of reasons for that, as you well know. But, you know, when people talk about that one big org, like it, we have it, it's the CCFR, and it happened probably about 2 years ago. It certainly happened, you know, in the last year and a half. And that's great and everything, but we need to be a heck of a lot bigger if we want to have the impact that the American organizations have. Now, we've done a lot of stuff, as you well know. We are an organization that it's important that you know what we're doing. You know, you can go to firearmrights.ca, click Why Join, and find a list of everything. And you can even look towards the bottom of the list what we've done since the May 2020 gun ban. It's very impressive. We've done that with four full-time people. We had five people for a few months, but primarily four full-time people. It's an impressive list. Some big things, right? Like what we did during the election and billboards and television shows and newspaper ads and all kinds of things like that, soothing the government and putting like a whole legal team together to do it. Not one lawyer, a whole legal team to see if that maybe will help. So we're doing big things, but we can even do bigger things. I'm not out of ideas yet. We're trying everything we possibly can, right? And to do that, we need to be a bigger organization. We need a couple more people for sure, you know, to do it, because I can't always do everything. And as you know, something could happen to me and I might not be around to do all these things by myself, or, you know, or Wilson could get hit by a bus, or Adam or Saf or Steve, right? So anyway, we need to grow the organization. We need to get more people involved, both because we want them politically involved, and we want them to support our firearm organization so that we can grow and do more things, do more concurrent tasks. Right now, the thing that limits how many concurrent projects we can take on is the fact that there's only a few of us, and that's that. So, and the other thing is we have another issue in our community, and that issue is that a lot of us operate, I think, ideologically in our own silos. You have gun owners that are not politically active. You have gun owners that are obsessed with politics, right? You have gun owners that exclusively hunt, or they exclusively recreational shoot. They don't understand why anybody needs a handgun or a black rifle. You have people that are sports shooters and are like, I don't need to shoot animals. I can go to Costco and buy my meat. You know, these hunters are making us look bad because it looks barbaric, right? We have a lot of disconnectedness in our community. We need to bring our community together. We need hunters to go look at sports shooting and go, yeah, you know what? I see why that's appealing. I see why they want to protect that. When a sports shooter's looking and saying, you know, a million Canadians hunt for a reason, that looks awesome. And even if I don't hunt, I need to protect those guys because I don't want to be standing here by myself, you know, should their guns get taken and vice versa. We need to bring our community together. There's enough division in our community. There's a lot of division in our society on many different levels, especially right now, as you all very well know. It's a strange time. Bad time to give up guns too, by the way. But we need to bring our community together. We need to bring Canadians together. And to do that, it's probably good that we each see exactly what the other's doing, right? So there's not a lot of sports shooting stuff on WOW TV. There's a lot of hunting going on there. There's some sports shooting stuff. And it's just an opportunity for us to see what we have in common. What we have in common is we're having our firearms taken away. Once all the sports shooters have gone, all the handgunners, right? All those handgunners are, you know, they're the ones that are causing all the problems. Well, I assure you, hunters, once the handguns are gone and the black rifles are gone, you're gonna be standing there with your lever actions and pump actions, and the government's gonna say, well, those are repeating rapidly firing firearms. What do they call it? Not repeating. Anyway, can't remember what kind of propaganda Bill Blair was spewing at the time, but basically, if you can shoot over and over again, that's a dangerous firearm, just as dangerous as a semi-auto right now. So it's going to keep going all the way down to all you have is a break action 20 gauge shotgun. And then you'll stand there wondering how you lost all your guns. So anyway, we want to avoid that. We all want to come together as a community. We want to support each other. We want to support our organizations, and we want to push back while we're still in a position to do that. All right. Wow. I rattled a lot of stuff off there. Okay. So anyway, as I may have said, first or second week in February, CCFR Radio On the Air is the name of the show. It's going to be on WOW TV. And yeah, that's what we're doing. So it's going to be a really a really big undertaking. It's going to take a lot of my time as well. I have a big lawsuit that I'm involved in, as we know, a couple of smaller lawsuits that we're involved in. Plus, hopefully we can settle one of them and get that off the books, if you know what I mean. And we also have the Mass Casualty Committee, which is taking up more and more of my time to get caught up with what's going on. And my involvement is going to start increasing as we move to phase two of the inquiry. So it's going to be a lot. But anyway, we're going to try to get that show going and keep it going. And then, as I said, in September, maybe September, October, we may renew it again and go for 20 to 26 weeks, so that this is something that's very repetitive and you're seeing it week after week on WOW TV, so that we can get more people involved. So we're, you know, bigger numbers just means bigger impact, right? There's strength in numbers, and we have to do something to increase those numbers. Anyway, hopefully you find that exciting. It's never been done before. Thus, I don't know exactly how we're going to do it, but I'll come up with something. I'll make it happen at some level. Hopefully it'll be good. But we couldn't have done it without all you guys. So again, here's me throwing my weight around, doing television shows and the rest of that stuff. And the only reason I can do that is because you guys are trust us enough to continue to support us. And for that, you know, as I usually say, I just appreciate it so much. Okay. I've done enough talking. I'm going to bring Tracy on and we'll take it from there. All right. And as usual on Skype, I've got Wilson.
Hey, you should start that over. What's going on? I want the Wilson.
No, that's my, I'm too tired to absolutely shout Wilson. I'm just kind of.
Yeah. Well, you and me both, you've had a lot going on. You've been moving and shoveling and, you know, fighting the demons of cancer and all that stuff. And, yeah, we've been totally snow swamped over here in Ottawa.
So. Well, we got a lot of CCFR stuff going on too. So,
yes.
Throw that into the mix.
Never stopped.
Yeah. Trying to get some results. So, all right. So we got a few things to talk about today. There's been some pretty important information released in the Roger Kotenko case. In case anyone doesn't remember, Roger Kotenko was the gunsmith who had the Toronto Police Service ERT drive 150 kilometers to his house and shoot him and kill him and yes. And put his wife on the ground and all the rest of that stuff. And then the reason why this is strange is this guy's 70 years old. He's well respected in the community. The police wouldn't release the search warrant that they had, which is they're supposed to do that. There's a bunch of irregularities there. Again, before last time we spoke about it, it's like, well, we don't have the whole story. So we got to be careful. We don't start running around, jumping to conclusions, although it looked a little bad. So we've got some new information.
Yeah. So the Toronto Star actually was able to acquire some information. I believe they used an ATIP, and it gave a little bit more of a backstory on the reason the search warrant was issued, what they were even doing there. I mean, from all accounts that we've seen from Roger's friends and family, it was completely shocking that the police were even paying him a visit to begin with. So I've condensed it into a short note because, of course, it was pages of reading. But basically, it all dates back to late last summer in 2021. There was a stolen Mercedes that was crashed in Toronto at the corner of Finch and Victoria Park. Out of that crash, the police seized a Norinco 45 handgun. In October of the same year, so just last October, there was a vehicle pulled over in North Bay while police were investigating a possible kidnapping, and they found another Norinco 45. So in both cases, the serial numbers were removed using a milling machine on these two firearms. Police restored the markings and found both guns had been registered to one of Kotenko's firearm businesses. So if we rewind back to 2009, this is where the story really begins. Kotenko notified the Ontario CFO that he was importing 25 Norinco 45 pistol frames to make into custom guns for his customers. So this was a practice that was totally common and legal for him to do. Everything was registered. It was totally normal. But after the two seizures that we opened the story with, police checks showed that 14 of the original 25 Norinco frames were still registered to Kotenko's business, including the two that were found in those crimes. So police noted that Katenko, a longtime gunsmith, would have the machinery needed to mill off those serial numbers, and that was the basis for the search warrant. Police believed Katenko may have been diverting the handguns into the illegal market. So a logbook of Katenko's registrations for all of these Norinco firearms, as well as everything else that he custom made, the registrations, the transfers, all of that information, he kept it in a logbook, and that was confiscated by police during the raid. Katenko's brother said that the last business check that was done just prior to the pandemic showed that all Katenko's firearms registered to his business were there and accounted for. So there's some missing information there. We're not entirely sure how a couple of those guns ended up at crime scenes. Fast forward to the day of the raid, and a customer called Katenko that day and led him back to his workshop. He had been out with his wife. The person said, you know, I've got some work for you to do. Can you come back to your shop? He was led back there. And the family's raising serious questions as to why they would choose to take him at home in a shop where he would be surrounded with guns. I agree. I think that's a valid question to ask. And Roger was, of course, shot fatally 4 times by one of the police officers during the raid. The SIU investigation continues into this, and the family has actually launched a $23 million wrongful death lawsuit against Toronto Police Services. And Katenko's wife alleges police restrained and detained her illegally and prevented her from giving aid to her husband after he was shot. So I know that's a lot to take in, but it gives us a little bit more backstory on how this even came to be. And of course, we'll be keeping a close eye on it.
Yeah, it'll be interesting either way. But yeah, it's a tough story. It's a tough story to even comment on. So I think we'll just leave it still. I mean, this is some new information. That's great. So more information has come out. Yeah. It's interesting that the family is going to sue them. If the TPS were wrong, then good for them for suing them. That's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
But anyway, we'll leave out any commentary until we really find out what's going on there. But it's a strange case for sure.
Absolutely.
Okay. Just a quick update. We've been getting a lot of inquiries on National Range Day, which is a really encouraging thing to happen. We want everyone to get involved in National Range Day. It's not a CCFR thing. We're just going to pay for the infrastructure and host it and administrate the whole thing just because somebody has to do it. So it might as well be us. But we've gotten a lot of inquiries on it, and just a quick update of where we are with that project.
Yeah, so of course the website is there. You can go to nationalrangeday.ca and check it out. Of course, right now it's more of a placeholder than anything. I've been working on some resource documents to put in there. Now, most ranges across the country will have the knowledge and know-how to host an open house or a ladies' day or a youth day or whatever type of event they decide to. I mean, most ranges have done it before, but I think it might still be helpful to share some knowledge, and maybe for those new ranges that haven't really done it, or possibly just to give some ideas to the guys who have been around for a long time doing them, right? So there'll be some resources on there. I'm also going to include some resources for people who maybe live remotely or in a rural area. Maybe they're not really a member of a range day, but they want to take out a neighbor or a friend who's never been, maybe take them out to the back 40. So, you know, we'll put some information up there. And of course, we will be blasting this stuff all around. Make sure that you get involved. Make sure you encourage the executive of your local club and range to get involved, and let's really blow it up. But yeah, there will be more coming in the next few weeks.
All right. So development on the website continues.
Yes.
You'll probably see quite a few improvements by somewhere around the end of the month, and then it'll keep improving after that, because we have a lot of ideas, but you know, ideas are one thing, but you have to figure out what it's going to take to create that. And if we get the response that we'd like, we're going to have to get a little bit more help in to administrate that whole thing, because there's 1400 clubs, I think, give or take, across the country. If, you know, half of them are sending in events and information that they want posted, it's like 700 you know, entries, yeah. right? And, you know, so that has to get yeah. posted somehow. You know, anyway, so that's ongoing, but yeah, we're going to make a good run of that. And the last thing we got to talk about today is the neon sign draw.
Oh, that's fine.
Okay. So, this Great. Is the draw for, this is the CCFR sign that's behind me yes. and behind you as well.
Yes, that's exactly right. This nice CCFR bold new logo.
Excellent. And in case I forget to say it, this is the second to last draw. So the one that we are going to announce as soon as we get find a winner for this one, that's going to be the last one for the Light Up 2021 contest. FYI.
Yes, we are into 2022 and still doing them, but let's do one more for good measure and then we're All right. good.
So in this draw, we have row number one through... through 771. So 1 to 771. Oh, 1 through 771. 1 through 771. Make sure. Generate. We got 387.
Oh wow. Okay. Almost let's right, see who's on
right
it.
In the middle. 387. Somebody from Chilliwack there. the fix was in. Okay, so this is, oh, all I've got is a first initial. It's K from St. Catharines, Ontario. So I'm just going to go back to Ooh. Us and I can tell you the full name.
Okay.
Oh, K. Shane Johnson from St. Catharines, Ontario. You won the CCFR sign.
All right. K. Shane Johnson. That's awesome.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, that's awesome.
Yeah, that's exciting.
All right. So as I said, the next draw is going to be, oh, well, we didn't say what the next sign was, but I think it's already started. I mean, we were way late on the podcast. And I think that yeah. draw has been going for 19 days because it's the 19th when we're doing the podcast here, isn't it, Ben?
Yeah. So I'm going to hit that link out hard over the next 11 days in social media, give everybody one last chance to win the last sign of this campaign. And it'll be the firearm rights are human rights sign. So that's a really popular one. It's literally a monstrosity. It is huge and so difficult to manage, but I'm telling you, it looks awesome on the wall. So
All right.
really exciting.
So firearm rights are human rights. And then it's yes. the last draw. We only have 10 days left on it. So if you want to enter at all for this contest, donate $10 to the CCFR and you'll get a free entry into the contest. And yeah, it's your last chance. And I guess now is probably a good time. We'll do it when we draw for the final draw too. But I just really appreciate everyone just helping us pay for all this stuff that we're doing and helping us, yeah. You know, have a strong legal team to take on the government because it's the government decided to provide some evidence and to provide some affidavits, which we have to take apart. And that's where it gets really, really expensive because it takes up a lot of time. So just all the things that we want to do and that we are doing, I just really want to thank everyone for participating and yeah, just supporting us to do everything we possibly can to try to make a difference.
Yeah, it sure beats the heck out of just complaining on social media, right? I mean, this is... we have to do everything we possibly can, but we wouldn't be able to do any of it without our members and supporters. So yeah, big thank
awesome.
You.
Awesome. All right. Well, I guess that'll do it for us for this podcast. I appreciate you coming on, Tracy.
You have a great day, Rod.
All right. That's going to do it for the CCFR Radio Podcast episode 107. It's really getting up there. Thanks, Tracy, for all your work and the update. Congratulations to our winner of the neon sign contest, the Light Up 2021. As I mentioned, and as Tracy mentioned, there's only 10 or 11 days left to get in on the last sign, and then the contest is finished. So appreciate everyone that's entered. Really appreciate all your support. You can become a member at firearmrights.ca. You can also check out the court schedule of our court case and all of the documents there. Cross-examinations are happening right now, so you're going to see more documents pop up there as well. So you can find all that information at propertyjustice.ca. That's propertyjustice.ca. Don't forget that. Some people are like, what's going on with the lawsuit? It's like, well, there's a website so you can find out. So anyway, thanks again for all your support. Take care, everyone, and we'll see you soon.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.